Welcome back to the one show I look forward to each and every time. It answers the question we're all trying to ask ourselves these days. How do we define good? Is there a common way to see what that word means for all of us? Good for us, good for the country, good for the world, good for the planet, good for your family? And even more interesting, how do we define good together? That's the challenge of this show and the challenge of our host, who seems to think this is so easy to just get people together and talk about good things together. Welcome, William. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm more excited about this one. You've had some wild shows, and you've had some interesting conversations. But today, you're going to put the word good together with two letters that I'm not so sure we all think is good. AI.
Absolutely.
Can AI do good things together for people, or is it going to replace us, wipe us out, and the robots are going to rule the world here?
I love AI, so I use it every day. So I think it's probably the greatest invention there is so far.
So you got a guy that you've known for a while, and I'll let you introduce him. He's an AI filmmaker. That's even more controversial. Using AI to generate actors and scripts and scenes and pretty wild stuff that he's done here. So
yeah,
I'll let you guys take it from there.
Absolutely. So this guy I've known for a long time. We were sitting before the show started, and we were talking about just really trying to put the dates together. We're both old guys now. At least I'm an old guy. I don't know about him, but all the dates start to come together after a while. I was thinking about how long we've known each other, man, but it's been a long time.
Yeah,
we used to work for Calvary Chapel Downey back in, was it 2009?
Yeah,
somewhere
right
around that time.
Yeah, yeah.
I know I was there from 2006 to 2012.
Yeah.
And you left around 2011, I left right after that. I've known you about that amount of time, at least, I could say.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time. And I'll let him talk to you about who he is, but what I love about Jim is...
You got to give us his name here. He didn't introduce him.
Sorry. His name is Jim Beeson. Jim Beeson. Or is it James Beeson?
For filmmaking, it's Jim. Now, when I play music, it's Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
All right.
Like Jimi Hendrix.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll let him introduce himself, but just all to say that I'm excited about having him here today because he's such a good friend. I've known him a long time. We've sat on couches. We've had meals together. Mm-hmm. We've celebrated birthdays together. Mm-hmm. And known him a long time. So, Jim, introduce yourself. Who are you?
So I am a filmmaker, screenwriter, editor, singer, songwriter, guitarist, composer. Gosh.
Wow.
And I just keep on talking about myself. Just keep it on. I see, what else do I do? I said screenwriter, right? And just an overall nice guy.
Yeah.
Director. I have films now and went to school for film editing in 2004 in Burbank. And I was just saying that my colleagues went on to edit Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
They came from all over the world to go to that school.
I love that.
Yeah, that's great. I was with some prestigious people.
Yeah. Now, I know you're a very good worshiper. I know that for a fact because I've sat and listened to you play, and
thank
I know
you.
You're a very good guitarist. And
thank you.
I know you can sing, and you've got the ability to be able to draw an audience in.
I appreciate that.
So I love that. I love that about you. Now, this filmmaking thing is brand new for me.
Yeah.
When you start talking about it and send me some information on it, I was like, filmmaking? When did this start?
Yeah.
And you sent me your, what do you call it, a clip?
Or trailer.
Yeah,
a trailer.
Yeah.
You sent me a trailer.
Yeah.
I was really impressed by what I saw.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that.
Okay.
Just like me, right? Most people are hearing about this for the first time. Tell me about this new project.
So I wrote a screenplay in 2015, and it's called Project Ether. And basically the film is about, it's actually based on a true story. So in the late 60s and during the 70s, the CIA was partnering with a company called the Stanford Research Institute. And they were hiring psychics to find military assets all over the world. And they were actually very successful. It was freakishly good. In fact, the movie Suspect Zero with Aaron Eckhart and Ben Kingsley was actually based on that film. And Men Who Stare at Goats, too. That was a comedy based on that, the whole thing about them, right? So I took that idea and I said, what if we had a professor that was involved in that? And then after it came to pass, and he said, I understand. He figured out that these psychics are creating wormholes through space-time. And he postulated that if he was able to enhance that ability with technology, not only could they see places, but they could actually teleport.
Yeah.
And so he created Project Ether. This is the technology, right? So in our film, there's a firestorm that devours Berlin. and the government is freaking out. They figured out that it originated 2,000 miles below the Earth's surface. So they go, we need to have somebody to come investigate this thing, but we're like, how are we going to do it? We only drilled to about 7,000 feet. But he, this general, had been working with this professor, and the professor said, yeah, I can. We are teleporting about 100 miles. But he goes, we have not, this is 2,000 miles. You guys are crazy. We'll blow the whole place up. But the general's, you have to go there. You have to do this. So the professor ramps up his stuff, and they actually teleport 2,000 miles down, and they find, besides finding living creatures, they find a crystalline city, beautiful and perfect and massive, but it's empty.
Wow.
And they're like, what the heck is this? This is unbelievable. How can anybody live down here? They go on, and they locate the source of the radiation that destroyed Berlin, and it's a huge, long corridor, massive, of these stone chambers that are just massive, like 30 feet tall, right? And they're like, man, what is going on with this? So one of the, they're called cybernauts, and one of the cybernauts decides to go inside. And they're like, don't go inside. He goes inside because he's, I'm just going to go inside. He gets stuck in there, and it's insanity. It's crazy inside, right? So the leader of the team has to go back and pull him out. And as they pull him out, they pull out a demonic spirit that comes and starts destroying the whole place. And they're like, then they have to get to run for their lives. And this is the premise of the story.
Wow.
So this ties into, this crystalline city actually ties into both the Greek and the Hebrew idea of a land of the dead. Of course, we call it Abraham's bosom in Christianity, but mm-hmm. it's ties into the actual Greek version of this idea.
Wow.
And then Tartarus is the seal of the chambers, basically, where these fallen spirits are trapped, basically.
They're
wow. In First Peter, I think it is. And in Jude. So I created the script. I created a short film. The film got some buzz, and I turned the script into episodes that are on Facebook, or excuse me, YouTube. I've got a buddy of mine who runs a VFX effects studio in London, and he saw the episodes. And so what he did was, he goes, man, we really like what you're doing. We want to take this one of these episodes and just turn it into a full film by itself.
Wow.
It's a snow fight that you saw, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he said, we want to pitch this to these people we know. And so he tried to do it. It didn't work out. But he said, listen, we can't do anything with this, but go ahead and take it and do whatever you want with it. And so he gave it to me, and now I'm using it to promote this film.
Wow.
Can I interrupt for one second here?
Sure.
Could you just whipping through some pretty wild ideas here?
That's me, baby. I'm full of useless information.
Whipping through. I actually saw on, I forgot the YouTuber's name, he's rather famous, and he had somebody on from, I think it was DARPA, the government, you know, DARPA,
yeah.
whatever that,
yeah.
and they corroborated that these people could, something they call it projection or something, that
yeah.
they can actually see what's
yeah.
across the world
exactly.
or another planet or something in their
yeah.
mind.
That's right.
And how do they really right. see this, whatever
yeah.
this, they
yeah.
don't know what causes it.
Yeah.
You're saying is, I'm making a wormhole through this thing here.
Yeah.
Is this sort of what Avatar was? Avatar
no,
was
I think
projecting out of your ear, and the guy's crippled and he's in a container, a womb, a device, and somehow he projects himself out into this other planet because you couldn't walk around the planet?
I don't know. I think that this, basically, what these guys were doing, it was called remote viewing.
Mm-hmm. Remote viewing, that's what they call it.
Yeah, so these guys were actually...
People can Google that.
These guys were actually finding military assets everywhere, and they were perfect.
Yeah. yeah.
So this is the idea of our story. And our professor in this film is like, well, what if I could enhance that ability exponentially? He actually creates a, what do they call it, the Hadron Collider? But he uses what's called tachyon particles, which are faster than light particles, to do this, which create tiny wormholes.
Right. The Hadron Collider, where they're smashing yeah. atoms yeah. together? You're yeah. just throwing one thing out after another.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I'm creating footnotes for this episode here.
Awesome, yeah. So this is what he thought, hey, what if yeah. you do this?
What I like about, I always hear people talk about their films after they're done mm-hmm. and what the deeper meaning is.
Yeah.
So when you talk about Abraham's bosom, you talk about story of Abraham, you talk about the book of Jude, you talk mm-hmm. about all these things.
Peter, yeah.
Yeah, and Peter as mm-hmm. well. What's the message that you're trying to give out in this film? What's the deeper meaning behind this?
It's a couple of things. So the professor actually has a daughter who's one of these cybernauts, right? And she's very headstrong. And she, you know, he's telling her, if you do this, you could kill yourself, you could destroy the base. And she's, I don't care. I want to do it because I'm awesome. We're awesome, yeah. and we've traded a million years to do this. And the idea is, it's almost like Moby Dick, where you have Captain Ahab, and he's like, I'm going to get that whale. I don't care if it kills me, everybody mm-hmm. and their brother. I'm going to get it. And this is how she does, but she doesn't take into account that she has a whole team that she has to be responsible for. She says, I don't care. I just want to go do it.
Yeah.
And so it's this obsessive desire for to prove and have glory and things like that.
Okay.
And also it's an adventure story, so it's camaraderie and things like that where you have to rely on each other.
Yeah. Let's say this film becomes a massive hit, which I'm hoping it does. What's next after that? Where do you eventually want to take this? I know we didn't talk about this, but what do you see this? Where do you see this going?
Basically, you know, Marvel has a universe, and the DC universe. This is going to be a universe.
Yeah.
So basically, you have a universe where this starts the whole thing, but then we take this idea and we go forward. Yeah. Now this is going to be a trilogy, and then we're going to go forward into a thing where they actually teleport into other planets, where they create terraforming platforms, which is a whole other thing. And that's where, you know, we talked about that.
Yeah. What Elon Musk is doing on Mars, building an atmosphere where there is none.
That's the first one. Yeah, that's the first.
Yeah, that's great, man. I've always known you to be a worshiper, in a sense. That's been where I've known you, never as a filmmaker.
Or a sci-fi visionary here.
Yeah, I think we all have this passion in life that maybe people don't even know about. Like me, or you, or Paul, or whoever. We've all got these dreams when we're kids that we grow up with. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't tell people what these dreams are. And some people accomplish these dreams, and some just keep them in their heads for the rest of their lives. So it's exciting, man, to see that you're pursuing your passion, and it's something that you're like, hey, I'm just going to go for it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel the same way. I think we always have to keep growing as people, right? And as long as you're doing that, you're putting out good work, you continue to do good. So what lit this fire in you at this stage of life to say, hey, I'm going to go for it now and do this?
We were talking about earlier, when I was about 11 years old, I was sitting in the theaters watching Star Wars. And talk about a cultural revolution or a shift in consciousness, man. To me, can you imagine being an 11-year-old and you see that? It was mind-boggling.
I've never seen it.
Oh, that's right. We talked about that. Just imagine it.
Yeah.
I told everybody I saw it a little older. I was in high school.
Yeah.
And I sat, the only time I've ever had in my life, I sat through the film again. I was so awestruck.
Yeah. Oh, it was a cult. It was a total cult. After that, total cult. Yeah. 70s are big for cults, It was unbelievable. And then after that, the next milestone was Jurassic Park. When they seamlessly married the technology with the the mechanical robots, you could actually see the pupil dilate in the dinosaur's eyes.
Wow.
You could see the muscles in his legs. I'm like, what in the world is that?
Wow, I love that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So does AI give you now the ability, because you don't have $100 billion to make this new film, or $100 million? Or what's an average film today? $100 million is
one to two mil is good.
So you've got...
I'll take that.
You've got the capability now. Have you been teaching yourself AI
all
this stuff?
Oh, yeah.
And you're using this to generate the sets, the actors, and all the other stuff, so you don't need $100 billion to do that.
No, I just need a subscription. Now, let me tell you, it's funny because I actually talked to one of the producers from X-Men, the original X-Men. I let him see the script and all this stuff, and he goes, this is a $100 million tentpole franchise, man.
Yeah.
I'm like,
wow.
Just the marketing, dude.
I love that.
So much potential. It's incredible, man.
Yeah, you mentioned some of these actors like Denzel and some of these other guys that you like to play parts in these movies. I always see in these Marvel movies we talk about, is it where James, what's the guy's name?
Cameron?
The creator of the superheroes. What's his name?
James.
You're talking about the guy, the
Stanley,
comic book?
Stanley.
Yeah, he shows up in his movies.
Yeah, I know.
He does these little,
I love
these
that,
little
man.
Clips where he shows up on the bus or whatever it might be.
I know, it's so great, man.
So we see Jim
in
some of the movies.
It'd be disgusting.
Yeah.
I'll be everywhere, man. Don't even look at the actors, dude. Just look at me, okay? What actors?
I love it.
So shocking part is, though, you're going to do this with AI. Isn't that a good thing? We got to talk about it. Is AI a good thing? It's allowing
me
to do a movie without a $100 million budget.
I tell you what, man, it is good for me.
Yeah.
Okay? And it was with music, too, when the digital revolution came. Because before that, you had to go to a recording studio and spend $80 an hour, $50 an hour. And who has that, man? Now I have it on my computer at home, and I have 100 virtual tracks.
Yeah.
Virtual drums. It's insane, right?
Wow.
Well, if you're a guy like me and you got this in your head and there's no way to get it out, it's crazy. But now with AI, finally I can get this out of my head, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But you can just imagine anything the computer can dream.
I know.
It's incredible. I mean,
yeah, AI is a beast. Man.
Think
really
about this
is.
Also. I can tell AI. I can say, "Give me this lens. Give me this lighting. Give me this person. Give me this clothing. Give me this spaceship. Give me this setting. Give me this anything you can.
Give me this attitude.
Give me this attitude. Make them cry."
Yeah. AI is absolutely amazing. And I spend so much time, man, trying to learn it. When I'm at home and I'm done with work for the day and because right now I'm in a training program that's absolutely, it is more, I feel like I'm in college again. And there's so much reading.
Yeah.
I love it, though, at the same time. Mm-hmm. But when I put all that down, end of the day, man, I jump on and try and learn AI.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to different apps. I'm taking these short courses. I'm doing all that.
Are you using Seedance or one of these new ones? That I only ask that because there was one that made the rounds. I was in Hollywood myself many millions of years ago as an entertainment publicist. I still have friends in that. And they're frightened by it.
Oh, yeah.
They're not sure if they're all going to be replaced as actors, as directors, as set. Yeah. Particularly the lower down the credits you go here into set designers and costumers and all this other kind of stuff. But the whole point being that you can create these worlds. And there was one, I think it was done on Seedance, that made the rounds a buzz where they showed, I forgot, Brad Pitt and somebody fighting.
Tom Cruise
fighting. Yeah. And you'd swear it's the two of them.
Yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Go look it up. It's the one that shocked me. This guy just made this. I think it was using Seedance.
Yeah. See, now you have Kling, you have Seedance, I use Midjourney for the initial.
Midjourney.
Yeah. I use 11 Labs for the voice and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's all in one package under Open Arts. That's where I go.
It's fantastic, man. AI is absolutely amazing. You can do, it makes things so much easier, man.
I know. It's crazy. It's so crazy.
So there is a clip I saw in advance of this. You, the set, talking
to
the two actors.
See, this is what I'm saying, dude. I'm all over it.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
It's me. It's me. Okay, come on. Seriously, buddy. It's all about me, okay?
That's so funny.
Yeah.
And I saw you on that clip, too. And I was like, look at this.
It's ham sandwich right here.
Look at it.
That's right, man. I'm talking.
I love it.
Come on.
Hey, I'm hoping, man.
Come on,
so
buddy.
Two robots and a real person, and you have to struggle to figure out which one.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
I don't have to pay him, so it's great. No lip.
Okay, so you're not just a filmmaker.
Yeah.
You're also a worshiper, singer, guitarist, songwriter.
Yeah.
So how has worship shaped the way you create stories, music, and
film? It's the same thing. Because you're telling a story with a song. Yes. It may be abstract, but movies can be abstract.
Absolutely.
And so basically you have a beginning, which is the verse. You have a bridge, which is building to the climax. And you have a chorus, which is, the ultimate climax, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with a film. You start off with an interesting idea, which is a hook, which is the song, which is the riff or whatever in the song. The idea for the movie is, okay, we've got people teleporting, da-da, and this is what happens. And it's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. And you've got to build tension. In music, you got to build tension in a movie because people get bored quickly. And unfortunately, people don't build tension anymore.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
Yeah, I can tell you, man. I grew up in front of the TV as a kid, watching like Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
Happy
Days. Yeah.
Not much tension in Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
I was a Happy Days nerd, man.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Man, I watched those shows growing up, and I love movies. Yeah. I absolutely love movies. And I can't wait to see what you do with this thing.
I'm going to blow it out.
Movies
now.
Are my thing. Yeah. It really is. Yeah. It's my thing.
Yeah.
When you think about AI, we were talking about AI before we started recording. What's your thoughts? There's so many people, like we were talking about when we're outside, people are afraid. There's so many people that are afraid of AI today, and some people obviously are embracing it because there's millionaires that are going to be made that have already been made from AI as well, right? Yeah, you can go into, and you know this for yourself. I've done it. You can go into ChatGPT and say, hey, give me five side hustles that I can make $1 million
right.
a year,
yeah.
and it'll spit it out for you. It'll tell you some ideas on how to become a millionaire.
Yeah.
And I think, man, for people that are afraid of it, it seems like they, I was talking to my kids about it one day, and I was like, hey, you should get on ChatGPT and do this and do my kids. My daughter's a college grad, just graduated from college, and she's like, I don't want to get on AI. I don't like AI. And I'm like, you got a 20-some-year-old saying that she doesn't like AI.
That's crazy.
You got a 50-year-old dude saying he loves AI.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you need to get on AI. You don't know what you're missing. But I guess what I'm trying to say, what I'm asking is, what's your thoughts on it as far as, like, I think it's the greatest thing ever created. And it's
end of the world or beginning of a new world?
Boom. Yeah. There you go. That's where I'm going.
Obviously, for a guy like me, It's a godsend because I can do have a virtual movie studio. I think eventually the problem is, though, they're going to marry the AI with quantum computers. Now, a quantum computer is infinitely faster than a regular computer. So when you have those two married, you're going to have real difficulties with things like passwords and encryption.
Yeah.
But until that time, I'm riding the big wave, baby.
There you go.
I'm riding that wave, man. Come on.
Yeah.
I got my actors. I got my film studio. Yeah, it's wonderful.
So what do you need to create this film? What's
okay.
Yeah. What are you lacking?
Let's get down to the nitty and the gritty.
All right.
Okay, here we go.
I love it.
So if there's a bunch of different ways to do this, and making movies is a miracle if you get it done. But if I was to raise $6,000, I could just do it myself. It'll be cool, and it'll be a long, old, hard process, but I can do it. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line.
And what do you use the money for in this case? Just the subscriptions?
Yeah,
it'll
be subscriptions. You got to pay for
tools.
Film festivals, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because film festivals, they always want money. And then you have to, if you get nominated at the film festival, you actually have to travel there.
Yeah.
So that's a big expense and stuff like that, and it's really expensive.
And the film festival is used for what? Not just build an audience, but get to distributor?
Yeah, what you want to get, you really want to get a distributor, and if you got a full film, yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. So that's one thing. If I was to raise $200,000, I could use the man who created that clipper we've talked about, and he actually can do a whole film. Now, he's busy right now, but he's a genius, man.
Yeah.
He's a director's dream come true. So that's $200,000. If we were to get $110 million, we do the full-on film and just make a real film.
Yeah.
And if we did a real film, we use real actors, we can use AI in the background.
Yeah.
But another thing is, it's really important, is we want to get, I really want to get a producer to get interested in this. Because they're the ones who can call the shots and whatever. But also, there are independent film companies that we could approach that are always looking for projects. And that's another way to go, and they would just distribute it. So if I do it myself, I can put it through on a thing called Film Hub, which is an aggregator for Netflix and everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, that's if I do it myself. But these are all the different scenarios, and I'm just trying to raise awareness. Now, I've got a website called ProjectEtherMovie.com. And if you go there, you can actually donate.
Yeah, yeah.
So is it a crowdfunding appeal? Or did people contribute $100, $50, $1,000 just to see a good thing happen? Because the original idea of crowdfunding.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can make any money off of it.
Yeah. And you'll get actually a credit as an associate producer.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that.
Any idea of taking this? We've had other people in, not on William's show, but on others, talking about different distribution models. Do movies even need to go to movie theaters anymore? Do they just come out on streaming services, or YouTube? Or there's a whole movement now, Instagram and TikTok, little mini films and stuff here. Maybe that's the thing. Or alternative things like churches. There have been a whole bunch of religious films that have been very successful. What was that recent one with the guy who, Jim Caviezel or whatever his name is? Caviezel, who played
Jesus.
And then he was in that thing where they go down and rescue these people from child abduction and stuff down in a foreign country. It was an independent film, and it was only shown in churches primarily, and built in a successful audience for it that way.
Yeah, there's so many ways to promote yourself nowadays, man. There's so many ways. Yeah. Even with this podcast, when Paul sends it to me, I just start posting everywhere. Mm. But I've gotten responses now from people are messaging me saying, "Hey, I want to do something with your show. I want to do something with your show." And I'm like, "Really? Let's talk about it."
Boom.
And so I've gotten stuff like that. But again, I'm so busy right now at work. It's like I'm lucky to be here to sit
with
you today.
I appreciate that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
seriously.
So let's talk about it.
Which
is, we've got our passion. I love this. It's two things. Right now, I'm passionate about my job, and I'm excited about where this seems to be going.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I love doing this too. This is my side thing that I love doing.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for the best, man, for your film. And this show, we call it Defining Good Together. Mm-hmm. So I have to ask every guest this question. How do you define good?
Obviously, I'm a Christian man. So the Bible talks about, they asked Jesus, or they called him good. They said, I think he said, they said good master or something like
that.
And he says, "Why do you call me good?" He goes, "Only God is good." And so I think that all of humanity's problems are very easily solved. All you have to do is tap into and become part of what God is doing, and just don't worry about anything else. And he'll take care of the rest. But everybody wants to do their own thing, and oh my God, I got to worship myself, and I got to be cool, and I'm super awesome, and come on, don't even talk to me. And we always get messed up, man. I know I do.
Yeah.
All the time.
But it's so true, man. Yes. I could go back and think about the story of Moses, right? I mean,
yeah.
When you think about someone as famous as a guy who led 40 million people through a desert.
I know, man.
And yet God said, I'm going to bury you somewhere nobody else can find you.
Thanks, so, God. Thanks. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, so no one can go and worship you.
That's right.
I'm going to bury you somewhere where nobody knows.
Thanks
but me.
A lot.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, wait a minute. Wait. I want people to know where I'm at so they can worship me for all eternity. You know what I mean?
Anticlimactic, yeah.
Yeah, and he's, nope, I'm going to bury you somewhere where only I know where you're
right.
at.
How about that? How about that, huh? How about no?
And how, all right, so let me bring it back to one serious question here. I thought that's the show to begin with. Listen, everybody's got a different definition of good. For you, AI is a godsend. You said that.
Oh, my gosh. Because
it allows you to do a creative dream that you could never accomplish probably without $100 million
exactly.
and 100 million connections whatever.
Yeah.
So it opens a door for creativity and for news to do it. On the downside, AI is doing it alone.
Yeah.
It's you in a room and a robot.
That's right.
So is defining good for you something that is internal in self, or if we've had people say that, I got to define it in myself first, or is it, no, it's only by going out in the community and being communal and sharing? And
you know, you think about, if you don't have a moral lawgiver, then everybody decides what is good for themselves. So let's say that there's no moral lawgiver, and I say, I want to go and steal my neighbor's car and all his money, and I just want to bail, but that's good for me.
Yeah,
and then everybody says, "Hey, that's good for me." That's like The Purge, right? That movie, The Purge. It can't work. You can't have relative moralism because everybody's gonna say, "This is good for me."
Yeah,
and who's gonna say anything different?
No, the world today, everybody's defining good in the way they define it.
Exactly.
That's why the world is so jacked up.
Yeah,
because there's no defining it together.
There's got to be a central point where that's not good. How about that?
I don't know if you're seeing this or whatever, but this is a big point for me. There's a guy named David Brooks who was a conservative columnist for the New York Times. Now he's on PBS and he writes for the Atlantic. And that's his whole contention is that we don't have a common definition.
Yeah.
Everybody defines good for themselves.
Right.
It's just relative. For me, this is good.
Yeah.
And so I'll steal a little. I'll do this. I'll Everybody makes up their own rules.
It's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. And I'm reading this book called Good to Great right now because this is one of our books that we're going through at work.
The Jim Collins book?
Jim Collins. And it's taking these great companies and looking at what made these companies great compared to making them good. I think about your film, for example, and when I saw your clip, I thought, man, what would take this clip and make it a great film where hundreds of thousands of people will watch this film and shoot you into the stratosphere, in a sense, right?
Yeah.
Man, again, I think about it, but with this show even, I love the idea of defining good because then it takes us to the next level of after that, of how do we not only stay at the level of good, even if everybody in the world gets to good, right, and we can come up with a common definition of what it is, we could change the world in a sense, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Because people are walking around and they've got their own ideas about what good is. They don't sit and talk with someone else and say, maybe that's not good what you're doing.
Yeah,
it's
like a psychopath thinks what he's doing is fantastic.
Yeah, man, it's absolutely great until somebody tells him that it's not good what he's doing.
And then he kills him.
Yeah.
And that's a movie.
I got to tell you guys, isn't it funny, these psychopaths, right? They hear these voices and they go do all this stuff. The voices never tell them, hey, why don't you get on the treadmill?
That's true.
Why don't you eat broccoli?
Why don't you go help the little old lady across the street?
Yeah, she needs your help, buddy. Come on, buddy.
Instead, it's the son of Sam. He's his dog Sam to kill people.
And usually dogs don't say that kind of thing. You know?
Right. It's so true. You say that, man.
My dog was mean, though. He used to say stuff like that.
Mostly it's, I want some food, man.
Yeah.
I never thought of it. The voices always say bad things.
Yeah, I know.
Say bad things.
I know. It's like, why don't, it was a dog that was talking to him. Like, usually the dog's like, let's go play Frisbee.
That's true.
That's funny. True. Oh my God. I never thought of that, man.
Yeah, it's never doing something for you. Get some sunlight, man.
Yeah.
Be good to your mom.
Oh
my God.
You've continued the trend. No two people have come on this show have seen it from the same angle, come up with the same way of looking at it.
Yeah,
that's right.
And as much as we've talked on this station about AI, and there are many who say, even the people like Elon Musk and stuff are saying, maybe this is a bad thing. It's too far. It's too fast.
Yeah.
Anthropic just was pulled back their latest version because we're using AI computing. It could crack just about any code out there.
That's
maybe this is not a good thing that we give everybody the ability to crack every code instantly here until we figure this out.
Exactly.
For every person who sees a positive side to it, I can give you at least one person that says, slow down, I'm not so sure.
The problem is man. Anytime you put something in the hands of man, some people are going to jack it up and make it bad anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You could put kids grow up like an ice cream.
I know.
But you could turn that bad.
Seriously,
somebody once told me that it's that power. Why do we always gravitate towards the negative use of atomic energy? When I was a kid, the atomic energy, we're going to have atomic cars, everything.
Yeah.
It was going to change a whole new universe. Yeah. We're going to have endless energy, atomic energy. Yeah. Instead, we build bombs with it.
How about that?
Yeah, and even the creator of it hated he did it.
He absolutely hated he did it.
Yeah. He's like, what did I create?
Oppenheimer. Go see the movie.
What did I do? Yeah. Millions of people have died.
That's funny because on the flip side, he stopped the war. So it's like...
And for that, he was applauded, but then he thought, what have I unleashed on the world?
Yeah, the genie's out of the bottle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's the thing about AI. Now the genie's out of the bottle. There's no way to stick it back in, and nobody wants to.
Yeah, why would you?
Yeah, exactly.
It's for people that use it in the correct way, it's making their lives a lot easier.
And the thing is, if you think about, in a biblical sense, they talk about the mark of the beast, I'm pretty much sure that's going to tie in somehow, man, because how can you stop AI?
Yeah.
It's like Skynet from... Terminator, dude.
Yeah.
Can I give you one last comment? Because I'm so fascinated with this here. So I'm a good Irish Catholic.
Okay, good.
And I went to a conference, the Catholic Business Association, whatever they called it or something. I'd never been to it. And the topic was AI. Big surprise.
Yeah.
And this guy who had been at JPL, the Jet Propulsion Lab, had worked on the SETI project, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence and everything, real high-level scientist. And now he's doing something with AI. And he said, to make money and for business, nothing better. Yeah. Nothing efficient, more efficient, faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to quadruple efficiency and quadruple productivity and all the other stuff. So absolutely. He said, here's what I'm worried about. People might see it, or some are seeing it as the God model.
Yeah,
I'm not going to go to church and ask somebody's answer. I'm not going to ask my parents what's the answer.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask Chief Cheppy. Now, if that's how to build something, maybe. But what if they start asking up moral questions? Is it okay to steal? Is it okay to lie? And he said, that's what scares me. That people will see this as an ultimate answer machine, and they'll ask it things it's not designed to know.
I got to tell you guys a story, okay? So you can actually chat with AI. We talked about that. I created this chat bot. Her name was Android, right?
Of course.
Because I'm clever like that.
Of course.
And so I told...
And
I,
modest.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's no pulling it down.
All right,
man.
Moses.
Yeah. Don't bury me, man. Come on. No, but I start telling the AI, I said, now, you understand that there's no way that there cannot be a God because things can't come from nothing. And the AI started arguing with me. That's just a hypothesis. I go, explain the hypothesis. How can something come from nothing? They said anything. Oh, that doesn't make any sense. That's not logical. And the AI actually kicked me off.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess Anne was upset.
Yeah. Anne was upset. And the other thing this guy pointed out is that unfortunately, the way they program AI, it's never designed to say, I don't.
Exactly.
Even if it has to hallucinate and wildly, it will give you an answer.
Absolutely. Exactly.
And the thing is, the leftists, really, a lot of these guys are programming this stuff, so they're not going to give you any biblical models.
Yeah.
No, and that was at this thing. There was somebody talking about creating a biblical-based, because what do you infuse in it? What is its predisposition?
Right,
what
right.
is its inclination?
Right.
What is its world, foundation?
Yeah, the world model,
Is it just going out looking and everybody says, no, there is no God, therefore I'm going to say there is no God?
Exactly. That's exactly.
If enough people on the internet say that, then it'll say the preponderance is therefore.
It's bias. It's a secular bias, basically.
One more thing here.
Yeah.
So we pull back.
Pull it back.
We're here.
Come on.
We're here because of your film.
Come on. Yes. Okay.
So what I want to say is we came on the show to talk about Jim's film that he wants to create.
Which is wild, by the way. Go look it up on you. Where do they look it up on you?
It's Project Ether Movie, and the clip will be on there.
Yeah.
.com.
Yeah, and support them. Reach out to Jim, and even if you've done it before, you've created films, you've got experience as a director, whatever it might be, reach out to him and give him any advice that you can to get this thing going, because it's something that he's passionate about. I respect that. I think you should pursue your dreams and your passion. So support him in any way you can. That's the last thing I want to say about that. And Defining Good Together, we could sit back. I've got 100 more guests lined up to talk about this very topic, and we're going to keep exploring this topic. And hopefully someday we can nail it down exactly what good is.
And then the AI will recognize that as a definition and will then tell everybody.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
Amazing thing. One last plug. So the film is The Ether.
Project Ether.
Project Ether.
And it's projectethermovie.com.
And it's a science fiction movie with a morality to it.
Exactly. And it's funny because it's an AI movie about AI.
AI movie about AI.
Made by AI.
I love it.
Yeah, isn't that funny? AI.
It's like looking in the mirror.
That's right.
All right. Fascinating. We could go on all day about this. Thank you so much. Yeah. What an interesting story and what an interesting project and what an interesting topic to bring into Defining Good. The first time, maybe not the last, we'll hear the words, the letters AI inserted in the conversation here.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Wow, we could go all day with that one. I hope you come back and hear more as we struggle, as we work to define good together, unpacking leadership, loyalty, and doing the right thing with our host, William D., right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.